This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
8:37 in the morning, you are listening to The Morning Run with Shazana and Xiaoning. We're looking at gaps in government procurement in the wake of recent findings by the Parliamentary Public Accounts Committee, or PAC, on MySejahtera. This week, the PAC said that the appointment of KPI Soft Malaysia, previously known as Entomo, to develop the MySejahtera application did not follow procedures set by Putrajaya.
Well, the PAC also questioned the 196 million ceiling price for MySejahtera, saying it was exorbitant for a project that initially started as a CSR initiative. Now, apparently, there was just a non-disclosure agreement, by the way. So on another procurement-related issue, the Defence Ministry announced that it is in the midst of removing middlemen involved in the Littoral Combat Ship, or LCS, project to reduce the cost of vessels. The termination would enable Bauxite Naval to negotiate directly with local vendors and original equipment manufacturers. Now, in August this year, the PAC highlighted the discrepancies and delays in the LCS project, which was awarded via direct negotiation, despite the government having paid more than 6 billion ringgit. Not a single ship has yet to be delivered.
So what lessons can be derived from these procurement controversies? For some thoughts on this issue, we have on the line with us Dr. Mohamad Mohan, President of Transparency International Malaysia. Good morning, Dr. Mohan. Always good to have you on the show. Let's start with MySejahtera. So the PAC has stated that the appointment of KPI Soft Malaysia to develop the app didn't follow procedures set by Putrajaya. What are the key lessons to be learnt from this debacle?
Okay, thank you. Good morning, and nice to have you have me back in this program. Okay, the first thing is lack of oversight. Now, if you remember, due to the suspension of Parliament and at that time the failure of the government to form an independent oversight committee during the beginning of their tenure after the Sheraton move. So this is one of the main reasons. The other issue is lack of transparency, direct negotiation of contracts, and lack of independence of the public services and also the MACC itself. So this will all directly lead to lack of accountability, thus lack of compliance with any written laws or procedures and policies. So the question is, they will always say that, why comply when there is a way to apply for exceptions to the law and no one will be held accountable? So there will always be emergencies, we understand that, natural catastrophes, pandemics, crisis, and other surprises. So the processes and policy has already put in place to avoid abuse of power. But if we cannot find a way to enforce these laws and policies consistently, no one is going to respect or comply with them. So I think that's what really we have to learn from this, especially the MySejahtera, what has happened.
Okay, Dr. Mohan, let's spend a bit of time on the MySejahtera debacle, right? So the PAC also said that the 196 million ringgit price tag is exorbitant and does go against this CSR concept mooted in the early days of a development. Can you help us understand what and who decides what is a reasonable price and what truly qualifies as a CSR project?
Okay, in this case, you see, it started as a CSR project. You know, the company offered to the government during the pandemic and as a CSR project. And of course, it is deemed as a philanthropic responsibility being fulfilled by the company. So in that case, that truly qualifies as a CSR project. But the PAC's finding that the 196 million is on the high side. And the question they raise is, what is the basis of to establish that figure when the project was accepted by the government as a CSR initiative? Is it valid? Now, of course, we have to remember during the pandemic, the MySejahtera went through multiple upgrades, where especially when the vaccination rates rose exponentially to about 500,000 a day, and they even had to do a QR scan about like 27 million a day. So, so we can understand that. And as the Minister of Health mentioned that with respect to that, no in-house IT system could have managed this at that time. So the health minister has a point as well. But the issue is, how do we resolve this? Because what we understand that this was approved by the cabinet to pay an amount of 196 million over 2 years. But the from what we understand from the PAC report, it's still the system. This still doesn't belong to the government. The developer is still owns the application. So the point here is we have to resolve this. We shouldn't be paying for maintenance and upgrade for the system. It should be taken over by the government. And people like Mampu, for example, they can actually manage this. So the news yesterday, the health minister mentioned that the 196 million has not been paid. So that is good. But we hope the government will renegotiate with the developer and take it over and settle it so that it belongs to the government, so that the data inside there is all protected. So we hope that is what will happen. And of course, is it reasonable or not? We still do not know on what basis the cabinet decided.
And Health Minister Kari Jamaluddin did say yesterday that the contract, this final contract that will be signed, is still being negotiated. As you mentioned, nothing has been paid yet. So hopefully they will be very transparent on what is contained in that final agreement. But let's take a look at the LCS issue. So MINDEF has said that it's in the midst of removing middlemen involved in the project to reduce the cost of vessels. But shouldn't this already apply to all government projects? Why are middlemen even present?
Absolutely. This should apply to all government projects, and every ministry should follow this practice. But if we follow recall back, we had this National Integrity Plan or the GLC transformation, the Blue Ocean Strategy, NKRA, OACP, and the various other forms implemented over the past three decades. So the removal of middleman, cost-cutting, preventing subcontracting of major costs, avoiding direct negotiation, various similar leakages of public funds has been proposed and has supposed to be implemented. To say now that they are in the process of removing middlemen at this point in a multi-billion ringgit project to ensure the security of the country shouldn't warrant any praise. It ought to warrant an investigation by an RCI into how procurement was approved and carried out in the first place. So that's how I feel.
Meanwhile, there are allegations by PKR Deputy President Rafizi Ramli over alleged interference by the Finance Minister and Prime Minister in this 854 million ringgit defence contract involving letters of support. Do we know what the rules are about letters of support, and is this actually best practice?
Okay, you see, the rules against this practice are already in the provisions in the MACC Act 2009. The abuse of public office or position to give unfair advantage to any party involved in contracts or public spending or state-funded projects is classified as abuse of power, and hence this is one of the main corruption offences. Now, this letter of support, we cannot pretend that it's supposed to be something culturally acceptable or some kind of a business norm. And this is the same issue faced with the so-called concept of giving gifts when negotiating contracts. Today, the government and the private sector both have, have gift declaration policies. But I think the best practice is for civil servants to ignore these support letters from politicians or lawmakers. This issue has been going on for so long, and it's time that this has been put to rest.
And Dr. Mohan, finally, while we have you on the line, what would you like to see in Budget 2023, especially from a fiscal accountability and procurement angle?
Okay, for the budget 2023, one of the things that we would like to see is the establishment of public registry of asset declarations of all elected reps, high-ranking civil servants, beneficial ownership, and their involvement. The other wish list is a transparent tendering of all contracts moving forward, including Bhumiputra-only contracts, with further disclosure of all products and services procured by contractors, including subcontractors and consultants. And last but not least is public officials must be held accountable for their fiduciary duties failures. And as we spoke about the LCS case, that is an example how civil servants could have ignored all the red flags and allowed the project to be delayed, cost overrun, and so on. So these are the three things that I would like to see in the coming budget 2023.
Thank you very much for your time. That was Dr. Mohamad Mohan, President of Transparency International Malaysia, commenting on some of the lessons that we should learn from the My Sejahtera application project and also the Littoral Combat Ship project, giving us some of his wish list items for budget 2023. I think I agree with all of them.
Yes, for sure. But what has made my eyes open a little bit wider although albeit they're quite small, is the fact that we do actually have processes in place when it comes to procurement, right? It's just that sometimes they seem to be ignored, or because of the circumstances, we were in the middle of the pandemic, we were in the state of emergency, they were put as cast aside. But that leads to failures like this, right? To issues like this. So it's not a gap, you know. It's like literally a huge hole.
I was really struck by his emphasis on accountability, on ensuring that all parties involved have accountability. And this applies to the civil service as well. If the fact is they feel like, oh, I have no power in this, I just have to follow what my political masters say, they're not going to follow the processes. So I really think empowering the civil service is such a crucial point in ensuring that enforcement is done. It is 8:48 in the morning. We're heading into some messages. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.